Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Steel Magnolias, two sisters who love family, traditions, and all things Southern.
We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
Hey, Lainey.
Hi, Laura Beth.
It's Derby Week, or yes. We think it is at the time of this recording. It's Derby Week, right?
Well, yeah, and it's just strange because that's always the first Saturday of May. So, I don't know. It just feels odd.
So, happy Labor Day.
So odd, but I'm just glad it's happening because it's such an old tradition.
Yeah.
That we can't not have it.
Yeah. Well, and to those of you that had tickets that you're not getting to use your ticket because they've scaled back so much, maybe you had general admission infield tickets or some other ticket in that is not going to be able to be used this year. I'm so sorry.
Yes. I was thinking, you know, this is a dream for me to get to go and dress up
me
and have
too.
A seat.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, thank goodness I didn't have plans to go this year. And I'm like, or would that be glorious that you don't have?
It's true.
As many people.
You're getting the like VIP experience,
right?
But you're supposed to wear a mask. If you're moving about.
Oh, this is going to be so awesome to see what we see. There's going to be gingham mask. There's going to be monogrammed mask.
Yeah.
There's going to be all things Southern in the masking.
Well,
I've already seen one that is got a hole. It has a flap and a hole for your straw.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to, for some reason, I thought you were going to say cigar. How awful would
that
be?
Hysterical. But that Crim and Brim that's in Bowling Green that has all the hats and they have online. Look them up if you would like to get a mask that has a straw hole for the Derby or any other time.
Never thought we would say on this podcast. Well, you know, the Kentucky Derby's the longest continually held major sporting event in the U.S. history.
I mean, that's amazing. This is going to be 146.
Yeah. And normally they teeter around crowds of like 170,000, somewhere in that range. So this year they are not having any more than 23,000 guests expected. That is a big cut.
Huge cut. And I keep thinking about in all of these things, just how that trickles down in the economy. You know, the guy that's grilling ribs out in his yard, parking cars, and he always makes a chunk of change.
Yeah.
Is not going to get to do that this year. Anyway.
Love that example.
Well, let's just get real.
We used this glorious sporting event to dictate our topic
Subject
this week.
Matter.
And so we are here with a mint julep in hand that Lainey made that is on point.
Y'all, I'm not always an on point bartender, but I have to say I'm so impressed with myself.
I would say more times than not you're on point.
Well, I sometimes have to dapple a little.
Yeah.
But this
you
is
experiment
in the top two mint juleps I think I've ever had.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so good. So anyway, it's a simple cocktail, but it is some think the most recognizable Southern cocktail of all.
Yeah.
The mint julep.
And we've got 10 cocktails we're gonna talk about today.
Yeah.
So we wanted to lead with this one.
Well, yes. Cheers to the Derby.
Cheers.
Let's talk the mint julep. So this is a obviously bourbon-based cocktail, hence why it's so popular at the Derby. You're in the middle of horse and bourbon country if you're in the Derby. But it's very simple. It's got simple syrup and fresh mint and a lot of crushed ice.
Yes.
And that's key.
So
and I think
important.
That's even probably why it got so popular, because it has to be bourbon-based and it has to be cold because you're so hot.
Yeah,
a
lot of times
Derby.
Don't people chill their cup.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you've probably seen I don't actually own the mint julep cup. It's like sterling silver, real pretty.
So gorgeous.
We're drinking ours just out of an old-fashioned glass. But
yeah,
you want this drink really, really cold. And you muddle your mint leaves, which, you know, that's an art in and of itself. You don't want it to be like floppy crushed, but you got to get that juice flowing.
So, yeah, I want to talk about muddling just for a second.
Sure.
Because it is important. It's a technique used to gently mash your herbs or sometimes a fruit just to get those juices flowing,
yeah,
waking it up. And,
yeah.
But you have to have a muddler.
That's true.
And if you don't, you can do it with a wooden spoon, but a muddler is a very good tool to have on
hand. Yeah, so it's got a rough, flat surface that will kind of poke holes, if you will,
yeah,
just gently in your herb.
Yeah.
But you want to use a lot,
yes,
in a mint julep.
Yes.
Laura Beth watched me make this. I put quite a few leaves in there.
You
I
did.
Mean, I may have put, just to make two, I think I had at least 20 leaves in there.
I think you did too. Yep.
Muddled it up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then added my simple syrup and bourbon and a lot of crushed ice. Then I just shook it up, poured it in the glass. Now, one little trick, I love the flavor of mint. Some people don't.
I do.
If you want it less on the mint side, you're going to muddle it less.
Sure.
But I like a lot of mint flavor. So I even put the muddled mint at the bottom of the glass and put a straw with it right next to the mint.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it pulls more mint flavor when you do that. But you always want to garnish it with some, just a sprig, not even breaking them off.
Just
put the sprig in there. And it looks so pretty.
It's so pretty.
Summery.
You did so good.
But I, when I was first hearing of a mint julep, for some reason I pictured it was going to be a cocktail that had like creme de menthe,
right, like
in it, like something creamy,
milky,
minty.
yeah
not at all.
I think I did too.
That's more like something else that's a southern drink called a grasshopper that
yes.
came out of New Orleans, but this is strictly bourbon, simple syrup, and fresh mint.
Yeah,
so it really does have a sweet bourbon flavor.
Well, typically on Kentucky Derby Day at Churchill Downs, they would serve about 120,000 of
these.
Not
unreal. There's even a fundraiser that happens at the Derby every year where they make them with this Woodford Reserve, and I think it's $1,000 a drink or something. And it's for
gold-plated glass with silver straw.
For fundraising purposes. But anyhow, it is definitely the signature cocktail. In fact, Churchill Downs, since 1938, I think they've called this their official cocktail, and they have collectible Kentucky Derby glasses that you can get, the whole nine yards. And one thing I wanted to mention while we talked this famous cocktail is the U.S. Senator Henry Clay of Kentucky introduced this drink to Washington, D.C.
Oh, really?
When he went there. At the Round Robin Bar in the famous Willard Hotel.
Oh.
So, 2 years ago, I got an opportunity to go to an amazing event with a friend of mine who's a descendant of a president. So, we actually got to go to the White House, and I got to meet a lot of really unreal, it was an unreal experience. But I got to stay in her room at the Willard Hotel.
Yeah.
And so I got to have a couple of cocktails in the Round Robin Bar, and I didn't know this story.
Okay.
And so when I got there, and it's a beautiful bar. It literally is round.
I bet.
There's been a lot of, you know, deals made in the Round Robin Bar, because it's literally right by the White House.
I would say daily they're seeing deals.
Exactly.
Yes.
But their signature cocktail is the mint julep. And I was going, what?
So it's, you saw that somewhere?
Yes.
Oh,
and
my
then
gosh.
It tells the story
okay.
of how that became their, you know,
their
signature
drink.
Cocktail.
Wow.
But it kind of surprised me, because it's not like that's the Deep South or something.
No.
Where, you know, I just was kind of surprised.
That is
but
funny.
I guess it's not just a thing in
Kentucky. That makes sense to me that it would be there as well, because this came out of about the late 1700s, and it was only the elite that were consuming this because not everyone had access to ice.
True. I see the things we forget.
Nor the silver.
For sure.
I mean, yeah. We've already said we don't have silver cups today. We do have ice. Thank you, Lord. Ice.
Yes.
But yeah, so that eliminated so many people. Just not forget access to bourbon, just the ice and the
silver.
The silver. That, wow. So it stayed kind of an elite drink for a long time and kind of still is, in my opinion.
That's true. You think of, you know, the she seersucker suit guy and the girl in her. Mm-hmm. Sunday best.
I mean, can you imagine ordering a mint julep at just a regular old bar?
Like a...
That doesn't kind have of a some dive sort bar. Of wood, pretty wood inside. Yeah.
So funny.
Anyway, okay, let's...
Well, let's yeah. Move Nothing on. Says wraparound porch like a mint julep, does yes. it? Or a sweet tea, I guess. Yes. Those two things. Well, yes. Cheers. Enjoy your it's sipping so good. Over Thank there, you. Sister.
Thank you. Hey, I just had an idea. We should do sort of a pantry list for our Patreon community.
Ooh, you mean like what to keep on hand?
Yes.
All the time?
Like your staples.
How yeah. to set your bar, not the liquor part, but like the extras.
Yeah, like okay. your tonic waters and your, I love I'm not going to give away too much, but let's.
That's a great idea.
We'll do a post this week and just have a little pantry list. Maybe even for mocktails as well. Like Absolutely. These are just good things to have on hand.
Well, mine would be the same. Like,
okay.
Because all you're going to do is maybe either add in a non-alcoholic
addition
okay. or just use these things.
Cool.
Love it.
Okay. We'll Great do idea. That. Okay. We got several more to showcase today. Let's talk about the Sazerac.
Okay.
It is, it consists of rye whiskey, bitters, and absinthe. Originally,
yes,
this comes out of New Orleans. So in the early 1800s, the Sazerac was originally made with, I think it was made with cognac.
I believe you're right. That's correct.
And Peachode.
That's
am I saying it right?
I had to look it up. But
Peachode's bitters, because that was the guy's name who created it. And so he named the drink for his favorite brand of cognac. And by 1870, cognac was harder to come by. So rye whiskey was the substitution.
Insert rye whiskey. Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Now, I've heard some claim that this is the oldest known American cocktail.
That makes sense, too.
With origins in pre-Civil War New Orleans, mm-hmm. Though that's disputed.
Yeah.
So I don't know. In fact, as I was doing research on this episode, this name kept coming up. David Wondrich,
who's okay.
a drink historian. I'm like, how do you get that job, drink historian?
You would be really good at that if you want to switch careers.
Just thought that was funny. I'm like, drink historian. So he actually disputes that it's the oldest, but...
What does he say is, you think?
It did not say that.
So. Mint Julep is saying that they're older. They're saying late 1700s.
Okay.
So...
Well, we'll go with that. I didn't ask. I didn't see what... But this drink, the Sazerac, became the Louisiana's official state cocktail.
Yes.
In just as late as 2008.
Okay.
Anyhow.
Well, I did find a good... full backstory that I might link to in our show notes
about
the Sazerac.
One.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I am not a big fan of absinthe.
Yeah.
Or that flavor, yeah. like that licorice so anise yeah. flavor.
Yes.
Which is what Herb Saint goes yeah. in. Yes. If you can't get absinthe, which I think it's easier to get now. That's a whole nother story we could go into.
Absinthe. In the ban that
yes.
happened.
Yes. I yeah. thought it was like, you know, causing people to hallucinate and
right.
all this kind of stuff. So anyway, that's all. That could be its own episode. But yeah, I'm not a fan of that flavor. So Sazerac yeah. isn't my thing.
Yeah.
But
well, you can actually buy Peachode's bitters on Amazon.
Okay.
And they're only $15.
Okay.
And so that would be a nice way for you to try and sort of get this
and it's
taste.
Actually in quite a few cocktails.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not like you're only stuck to making this one.
Yeah. But it's, like you were saying, it's definitely licorice, kind of that woodsy,
herby.
Yeah, maybe even like a saffron kind of, caramel, all those sorts okay. of
flavor profile. And I usually do like to experiment with things like that, but I don't know. That's just, this one's not my favorite. Yeah. So,
well, we have to mention it because we kind of have two categories in our list today. We have bourbon or
bourbon
New Orleans.
Based or New Orleans. Yeah. Or in this case, that one falls in both. Well, yeah. It's rye whiskey, yeah. But still.
So, speaking of bourbon, we do need to mention the Old Fashioned.
Which one of my favorites.
I feel like the Old Fashioned gets a mention about every third episode, right?
I just love that drink.
So easy to make. Super easy. I usually make it by just... I have a pack of sugar cubes.
Okay.
So I usually just...
Put your bitters on that cube.
Put my bitters on there. Kind of crunch it down or muddle it a little. I don't actually have a muddler. You would crack up if you saw what I use to muddle. It's some sort of piece that goes on like my mixer. It works.
I can see that. Or if you have a mortar and pestle, some people will use the pestle.
Yes.
Of that.
Yeah, that would totally work. But yeah, just some bourbon that you like, the sugar cube, an orange twist, and then some bitters.
Yeah, I'm such a fan of cherry
You like
that
the cherry. Yeah.
Kind of flavor in there. But, you know, supposedly this came from Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
A club called the Pendennis Club.
Okay.
Supposedly is where this started. And I think it was a pretty she club.
Okay.
And anyway.
Okay.
I think that's where this drink was birthed. But it's definitely worldwide now. I mean, that's not a Southern thing.
I feel like it has taken on the martini that had like
or the Manhattan.
Like as popular as Manhattans and martinis were in like 90s, early 2000s.
Yes.
I feel like the Old Fashioned has wiped those out.
Well, and bourbon has gotten more popular in general.
Yeah.
So then that's going to make bourbon-based cocktails more popular too.
It's true.
So yay for the Old Fashioned.
Again, ice is important. So it's
and totally different. And
totally
than this
different.
Mint julep we're having.
You do not want a bunch of crushed ice in an Old Fashioned. You want a big cube if you can have like one singular large square, circle, whatever.
Yeah, that's not going to dilute your yummy bourbon. You want it to just slowly melt.
Yeah.
So that's why that's so key. Who knew? You know, when I was in college and you just mixed whatever you had, I didn't know the ice mattered at all.
So speaking of college, number four on my list is...
I love this.
The most basic of cocktails. So hopefully we haven't lost you if you're going, I don't know what a bitter is, and I don't plan to buy one. I've got your cocktail ready for you. Enter the Jack and Coke, okay?
Two ingredients. Did not even have this on my list.
You didn't?
No, but it's got to be Southern.
It's considered a cocktail, I would think.
Well, yeah.
Two ingredients.
Or a mixer.
Both Southern, definitely on the list.
Lord,
so
both those products made right here in the South.
Yeah. So I have seen, you know, try and do about one part Jack Daniels to 3 to 5 parts Coke, but I think most people just sip and taste to get it to whatever strength that you want it.
Now, we had a funny story this week. We had a meal with a friend who we got talking bourbon, and he started sharing about the one time he found at a gas station a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle.
24,
mind you. I don't remember what he said he paid for it.
$70.
That's unreal.
But I don't remember how many
years
ago.
Oh, this was a while back. Anyhow, he did say he was headed to his brother's hunt camp, and they haven't had that for 20 years, so it's not that long ago.
Okay.
Anyway, he opens the bottle to share with his friends, which is what you do. We've talked about that before.
And a customer that he was there to visit.
Yes. Before he could stop him, had poured, I think he was showing us, what would you say that is, about 3 to 4 inches in the glass already of that 24-year Pappy, and then proceeded to pour Diet Coke all over it.
Yeah.
And he couldn't even stop it from happening. So
anyone that knows bourbon is cringing right now.
Don't use that in your jacket.
If you don't, I'll give you some perspective. This friend of ours said that that bottle today would be worth $10,000.
That sounds high to me, personally.
Yes.
But I definitely think you'd be knocking on 2 to 10. Like, you are in the thousands, for
so
sure.
Imagine putting,
so you can't even find
one say
now.
$2,000 bottle. Let's
don't
just
put your Coke in it. Or your Diet Coke in
right.
it. Please, please, please.
Okay, Jack and Coke.
All right, so number five. I just found this kind of funny. There is a cocktail called the Seelbach. And it's also from Louisville,
mm-hmm.
Because it's bourbon-based, so they're you know, high on the
yes,
they're gonna, using their bourbons over there.
They're going to use their resources well.
This one is bourbon, orange liqueur, Angostura bitters, Peachote bitters. Yes. I'm like still okay. trying to make sure I pronounce it right. And sparkling wine or champagne.
Oh,
so
I love sparkling.
They say it's kind of a mashup of a Manhattan and a champagne cocktail. So this is what I found so funny about this. The story goes that this cocktail was really old, from this Seelbach Hotel in Louisville. That's
okay.
where the name came
okay.
from.
Okay.
But this bartender shared this story that it was pre-prohibition, and you know, okay. he found the recipe when he became the bartender there in some place in the hotel. It became really popular, not just in Louisville, but like other places. People wanted the Seelbach. And in 19, he later said that he totally made the story up. So it really wasn't birthed until 1990s.
Oh my gosh.
He just wanted it because the hotel has such a great history. He thought that there should be a cocktail to go with it.
Wow.
So he totally made the story up. But the hotel.
Wow.
Is in the Great Gatsby. It's where like the wedding took place. It's so strange. I just rewatched the old Great Gatsby.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's so beautiful.
That's fun.
So anyway, I got tickled that he had this whole story going about this, because it seems like there should be a great
yeah.
cocktail that goes with a great hotel.
I agree.
So anyway, the Seelbach, it's not that
I want to try that. I haven't had that before. But I also feel like we should.
Yeah, you like drinks that have the champagne fizz.
I love it.
Yeah.
I would like that a lot. When anything that's topped with sparkling, when I look at through menus, if I see that, I order it. We should discuss bitters just for a second,
okay.
though, because
we've mentioned them a lot
on previous episodes, and we've never really gone into it. And since we're talking cocktails, we really need to. Bitters are slightly confusing because, I mean, in my mind, that makes you think that they're bitter. And that's not necessarily true. They are flavoring agents. They're used, you know, a lot of times in cocktails. I think their original purpose was for medicinal reasons.
Okay. So, yeah, I think I have heard that. Like they were made in apothecaries.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Things like that.
So most bitters are made by steeping botanicals in a high proof alcohol, like an Everclear or a whiskey, for a variable amount of time.
Okay.
There are three that I would probably say are the most popular used in cocktails. This Peachode that we've mentioned, which mm-hmm. has the licorice sort of flavor, and that's used in the Sazerac, as we mentioned.
Angostura.
Theirs is kind of known, and I don't understand why they do this. They always have an oversized label.
I don't know what that is either. And I always buy the orange version.
Okay.
Their orange bitters. I love their orange bitters. But
So that would be found like in your old fashioned. And then, let's see. What is the other one? I thought I had three.
Well, there's so many now.
Well,
too.
I guess orange bitters would be considered its own. Yeah,
okay.
that would be the third.
Okay.
So, yeah, those would be clear, orange-hued citrus bitters that are a lot lighter than the other two I just mentioned.
But you can find cherry bitters, walnut bitters, lavender bitters. Yeah. I mean, it's endless, the
yeah.
different directions you can go. I don't think any of us can stock them all in our home. But
they do add a nice flavor
yes.
to a cocktail.
It gives it like depth or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it other than that. Like, you know how you have like what hits your tongue first and later?
Yeah.
It does add depth to that.
And I think it helps because a lot of times what hits your tongue first
is alcohol.
Stings and hurts. So I think it helps soften.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I just wanted to mention
bitters.
I'm glad
you mentioned that because sometimes you just assume that, and that's not, I don't even understand all of that.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Okay, let's see. We are at number 6.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about a Bloody Mary. Now, I don't have proof that this is Southern.
Yeah.
I'm calling this Southern because it is tomato-based and has Tabasco sauce in
That's
it.
Fair. I didn't think of this as Southern, but yeah, that's totally fair.
And in my mind, Bloody Marys are reserved for...
hangovers.
Well, I was going to say airplane rides and brunches.
Yeah, I think brunches, but I also think you think about people. I don't like them, personally. I don't love tomato juice.
Yeah.
So this is never going to be my drink of choice. I'm going mimosa if I'm at brunch.
Me too.
But this is,
I wanted to mention it too because it's vodka based and we had so much that was bourbon based that I wanted to bring in something else. So this would be vodka, tomato juice, lemon juice, Worcestershire sauce, Tabasco sauce, salt and pepper, and then oftentimes people will stick a celery stick in there to garnish.
And have you seen now people do all kinds of crazy things? There's shrimp on bacon. I mean, there's all this stuff sticking
like
out.
Like the whole skewer.
Yes. I guess that's the way they can charge even more for it. Yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, I guess I can see how you would throw that in as Southern.
Yeah. So, anyway.
We're taking credit for it, whether we should or not. Okay. Next up is a drink I have never tried. I used to occasionally drink a slow gin fizz.
Uh-huh.
This is called Ramos Gin Fizz.
Okay.
Based on the name Henry C. Ramos, who created this classic gin cocktail.
Okay.
It's from New Orleans. Shocking. supposedly in 1888.
Okay.
So the thing that is so funny about this cocktail is, in fact, I've almost wanted to jokingly go up to a bartender and order it just to see what their reaction is. Because apparently bartenders hated making this.
Oh, really?
Because it has to be shaken for 12 minutes.
No.
Now... that in 1888 probably was true. Now we have what's called a frother. And I would think they would have one close by if they're making this. Because you've got to froth egg whites and cream.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's no way to do that.
Yeah.
But shake it.
Yeah.
So apparently this was like a bartender's worst nightmare when people ordered it.
Gets frozen to the shaker on a 30-second shake. I can't imagine.
If you had to froth.
Having to froth that long.
So this has egg whites and cream, which is so odd to me. But it's a gin based. It has simple syrup, lemon juice, some club soda. Mm-hmm. So I would like to try it sometime just to see.
Yeah.
But I almost wanted to print out. Actually, I may have printed out a picture just to show you. Because in the glass, it's really pretty to me because it has that frothed, creamy kind of look.
Yeah. Looks like a milkshake.
It looks kind of like a milkshake, except that it has a...
sort of because of the glass
citrus
that they are serving.
Garnish.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to mention that because it was another one born out of New Orleans.
That's so fun.
Was quite popular in a lot of the different lists that I came across. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, sticking in New Orleans, let's go down to Pat O'Brien's, where the famous hurricane was birthed. So, this cocktail became popular at Pat O'Brien's bar there in New Orleans in 1940s. And it's said that O'Brien created the heavily rummed drink as a means to get rid of a large stock of rum that his southern distributors forced him to buy.
Oh my gosh, we do what we have to do when we have excess.
And it does have a lot of rum in it. It's still super popular, and nothing says bachelorette party and Mardi Gras to me like a hurricane. It's even got its own glass, though.
It has
How
its
cool
own
is that?
Glass. I mean, it's that popular.
So, yeah. What else would I say?
Well, I was thinking this is one that you actually could make as a mocktail as well. Some of these are so heavily, there's not a lot of ingredients.
They're like 2 ounces in a sugar cube.
Right.
You can't change
Can't really
much.
Do much with that. But passion fruit juice and fresh lemon juice, I'm drinking that regardless of if you put alcohol in it.
Yeah.
Put it in a pretty glass and I'm happy as a lark. So,
yeah.
Anyway. I thought that was worth mentioning.
Well, and it does have a lot of juice ingredients. So if you don't have passion fruit, orange juice, fresh lime juice, grenadine, simple syrup, if you don't have all of that, you can buy the Pat O'Brien's.
Of course you can. Because he's an entrepreneur.
Already mixed up. Hurricane mix. You can get that at patobrien's.com. So sold at the bar too. But then all you need is your rum and a cherry.
Yes.
You've got a hurricane.
Yes.
So.
That's fun.
Yeah, definitely.
So much came out of New Orleans. Like, we need to do a whole week of just eating and drinking.
In New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Yeah.
And then next up, Charleston. Yes. I mean, really.
Yes.
But one I don't even have on my list, I did look it up to see if it was Southern. But I've seen in New Orleans that French 75.
My favorite cocktail ever.
So good.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
So I thought, okay, I see that in New Orleans a lot. Is that Southern? It is not. No, it is French.
I thought you were going to tell me it's Southern. I was going to love it even more.
Named after a World War I artillery that was used.
Okay.
In France.
Okay.
So anyway, that's where the name came from. But it has the champagne in it, and it's yes. pretty. And but there's a restaurant, Arnaud's restaurant, down in the old New Orleans restaurant. Their bar is called the French 75. Mm. So I thought maybe it was Southern, but it is not.
It's not.
No. Okay. Another Southern goodie.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Harry's Bar in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Okay.
Is the Alabama Slammer.
Okay. I've never had one of those.
Okay. Well,
I don't think.
If I'm remembering correctly, really fruity.
Okay.
Orange juicy.
Okay.
You know, so orange juice drinks are popular with college football because you tailgate sometimes early.
Yeah, that's so true. Games
so
can start.
I don't know if that's why this one got popular
okay.
with Alabama football, but it's Southern Comfort.
Okay.
Slow gin, amaretto. So we're getting a lot of alcohol in here in our orange juice. And you garnish with cherry and orange.
Okay.
So anyway, that one is very popular at football tailgates in Alabama.
Like that's probably where it came about, was tailgating.
Yeah. And Harry's Bar claims that they came up with it in Tuscaloosa. So
I've never heard anyone dispute it.
So. And of course, they're going to name it Alabama Slammer because, Alabama and their football, which, by the way, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen in the
SEC?
And
we might know at the time this comes out. Who knows?
Oh, true. We're recording a little early. Sorry. Yeah. I'm not supposed to do that all the time. But okay.
Okay. Finish out the list. What's number 10? Well, you know what? We're going to talk about it, but we're not.
It. Exactly. This is teaser for Christmas.
Okay.
The Milk Punch. I mean, people would probably listen to this and go, oh my gosh, they didn't even talk milk punch. Are they Southern? Well, we're going to go there. But I said, let's mention it, but wait and do a whole episode on like yummy holiday drinks.
Seems like fall and Christmas deserve their own sort of punch and seasonal drink.
Yeah. In fact, there was another punch that we mentioned on a prior episode that's pretty popular down from Savannah that's called Chatham Artillery Punch. Very old, like from the 1800s as well. So maybe we'll mention those on our holiday drinks.
I feel like South Carolina loves their punches. They just must have
They want to pull out those pretty bowls.
Yeah.
And do their entertaining. Maybe that's why. But this milk punch is kind of a Southern eggnog, if you will. Not quite as thick, but brandy-based drink. So that'll be fun to talk about later.
That's so true.
When it gets
brandy
cold.
Does seem to surface a little bit more later in the season or later in the year. Yeah. Well, that's going to round out our list of Southern cocktails. Again,
happy Derby to everyone.
Yes.
Make sure you tune in and watch. And
Just to commemorate the just wonderfulness of your drink that you made us today, I will post a picture on our Instagram.
Oh, please do.
And that way people can see how pretty it is. And just even how you can position your straw right into your mint to get that good flavor.
That's right. That was my own little tip for y'all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you got anything else?
I think that'll do
Okay. Well, peace be with you.
And also with y'all.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep. and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.